Now we're on the mission field as missionaries ourselves, and we've already served one term, and I already knew the language, but she didn't learn the Portuguese in her teen years, and in our first term, she took 3 years of language school, and so we're going to give you a sample of what God is doing in our lives, especially for her, because I know I don't look it, but you know, we're beyond the learning age, amen? It's not easy. A lot of prayers, a lot of need time about learning the language, amen? And God has been blessing. She can carry on a conversation with the Brazilians in Portuguese, amen? As you were fully aware, Brazil speaks Portuguese. All the other countries speak Spanish. And so in our church, we preach Portuguese, we pray in Portuguese, and she's playing the piano in Portuguese too, amen? So, but anyway, you'll recognize the song. We're going to sing it in English and Portuguese. Pray for us, amen? Ready? Lord, I give my life to you. Take control each day. I will follow anywhere, near or far away. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. I will serve you faithfully. Here am I, Lord, send me. Minha vida entrego a ti, meu Senhor, meu Rei, pra seguir-te até o fim. Perto ou longe irei, eis-me aqui, Senhor, manda-me. Eis-me aqui, Senhor, manda-me. Quero sempre a ti servir. Eis-me aqui, Senhor, manda-me. Let me see my mission field all around each day. Fill my heart with Jesus' love. Use me, Lord, I pray. Eis-me aqui, Senhor, manda-me. Eis-me aqui, Senhor, manda-me. Quero sempre a ti servir. Eis-me aqui, Senhor, manda-me. Here am I, Lord, send us. Amen. Thank you, babe. Amen. All right, I got a green light here. Oops. Tuck this away. Amen. All right. Well, I guess it'd be appropriate to introduce ourselves and share a little bit of our background, where we come from. My salvation begins with my dad's salvation. When I was 2 years old, my dad accepted Christ as his Savior, surrendered to preach, began Bible college in Atlanta. And by the time I turned 7 years old, I had heard enough of God's word through family devotions where the Holy Spirit illuminated my heart to my need of salvation too. Amen. And so in Cabbage Town, Atlanta, my dad was in Bible college. He shared the gospel with us. And I remember the story of John 3:16. And I wanted to be saved. And we went to his bedroom and knelt by his bed. And I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins and come into my heart. And Christ saved me. Amen. That was an old cabbage. It was an old cotton mill village home, and years later, we have four children who are now grown up. But years later, when they were in teenage years, I took them back to that spot. The house was no longer there. The concrete slab was still there, and I showed them, "This is right here. This is the place where I met Jesus and asked Christ to save me." Amen. There's a new house there now, but anyway, I enjoyed that day taking our children and showing them where I was born again. Amen. Now, Dad and Mom surrendered to the mission field, and so we had four siblings at the time. And I have a younger brother who was born in Brazil, but the four of us, Mom and Dad, went to Brazil when I was 9 years old, and so I grew up in Brazil and learned the language at that time. And someone asked me years later, was it difficult? And I do not remember learning the Portuguese language. It just happened, I guess, amen? I was 9 years old. Now, she had to pay for her her learning, and so that was a little more stressful, amen? But so we were in the mission field, and we shared with you how we met, how the Lord brought us together. And then when I turned 19, it was time for me to move out of the house and begin our own life, amen? We had met, and I had asked her to marry me, got here to the States. Mom and Dad brought me back to the States, and I was age 19, and we were married at 20. and began our life here in the States. Now, I had grown up under the truth. I had been taught the truth, and I had learned the most important thing in life, amen, that is souls, the souls of men. And so all through my life, and pray for me as I'm trying to condense my whole life into a few minutes here because I want to be aware of the time, but I had been running from God's calling in my life. Growing up in Brazil, I saw some things I didn't like. It scared me to death. I saw Satan's power. Now, it's a given power. It's a permitted power, amen. But I saw some things that would put curls on your back. And I didn't want to go back to those things. I didn't want to go back and live in that. But there was another reason that I began to run from God's calling in my life. When I got here to the States, I learned this thing about the great American dream, the almighty dollar, amen. And so she and I began to run. I say she's just my better half, amen. But I began to run from God's calling in my life. And in time, I became a truck driver and started to run the 48 states in Canada. I thought I could hide in a big truck, amen. Sort of like Jonas, he got in a whale, you know, but I opened up the door of a big truck, climbed in, thought I could run, amen. Get away from God's calling in my life. In 2004, my dad sent me an email. And he had been serving in the country of Brazil for 33 years at the time. And he sent me that email and shared how during his furloughs, like we're doing today, God would just impress upon his heart about the need for the Brazilians here in America to hear the gospel. At that time, in the Atlanta, Georgia area, there was over 100,000 Brazilians. And they all concentrated in the northern section of Atlanta. And God just kept putting it on his heart. You know, they need to hear the gospel as well. And so he sent me that email and said, "Scott, the Lord has impressed my heart to start a church for the Brazilians in Atlanta, Georgia." And I thought, amen, that's going to be great. Mom and Dad will be working here in the States. And then he said, "Will you help?" And I had a hard time expressing what went through my being at that moment. Now, you think about it, and you know this all your life growing up, but it was at that moment that I had realized the time that I had wasted in running from God. Running from his calling in my life. And you can't get those years back. They're forever gone. And I had a hard time with that. But we went to our pastor. By the way, we had been serving in our local Baptist, Independent Baptist Church in Loganville, Georgia, on the bus ministry for over 10 years. Our two oldest boys grew up in the bus ministry, but we were running from God's calling in our life. When he asked that, I realized what I had done. I can share so many times where I had ran from sitting in the pews, hearing the preaching and the missions messages, and actually getting up a couple of times and ran out the back door and trying to get away from God's calling. And I was fleeing and running from God's calling to foreign missions. And so we talked to our pastor and counseled and prayed together, and we decided we'll help Mom and Dad with the Brazilian work in Atlanta, Georgia. And so in 2005, we started helping Dad there. And over time, I was still a truck driver, but over time, Dad would give me opportunities to preach. And in time, we began Bible college. We had started Bible college before they come in 2005. And went to, in 2005 and on, I went back and finished my correspondence. I finished my Bible college and correspondence. And in that work there, God touched my heart, spoke to my heart, and called us to preach. Amen. So we're going to work with Mom and Dad. We're going to preach right here to the Brazilians. We're going on and knocking on doors where the Brazilians are. We go to the malls, and we have little tracks sticking out that has a Brazilian, and so the Brazilians would pass by at the mall, and, "Oh, Brazilian." So we'd have a conversation and witness to them at the mall and visit their homes and all. We just had a good time. We were speaking the language again, and it was really good. It was really exciting. But I didn't want to go back to Brazil as a missionary. No foreign missions, Lord. Not. I'll send my money, was my explanation, my care, amen. And so I kept running from the Lord's calling to foreign missions. Excuse me. And the Holy Spirit wouldn't leave me alone about it. And I just kept fighting it. And I was struggling. And it was a miserable time, I can tell you. But on one of my trips, I had gone to the TA truck stop at Woodstock, Ontario, Canada. And the Holy Spirit was bothering me. It was just pricking my heart. And I said, no. I can work here with Mom and Dad in the States, Lord. Let me do that. I can do this for you. I can do this. See? Amen? The error. And so I kept arguing with the Lord. And that night, it was a Saturday night, and I went inside to get my meal. and the Holy Spirit wouldn't. That was the worst meal I had. Amen. Struggling and fighting the Holy Spirit. And I said, okay. Finally, I agreed. Okay, Lord, I'll find an independent Baptist church right here in Woodstock, Ontario, and I'll go there tomorrow morning, Sunday morning. Thinking in the back of my mind, there's probably not going to be one here in Canada, man. And so I went back to my truck, and sure enough, I found, got in a phone address and looking for that, and I found one just a couple of miles away from the truck stop. And so on Sunday morning, I got up and unhooked from a trailer and bobtailed down to the church, parked a little bit out of the way, and walked inside of that little independent Baptist church in Woodstock, Ontario, Canada. Would anybody like to guess what was happening there that Sunday morning? Missions conference. They were having missions conference, and right away I knew the Holy Spirit just pricked my heart again, you know, and fighting it. And I can't remember the message verbatim, but I remember that missionary preached Jesus. Amen. And as he told his testimony, God just burdened my heart and of my wicked running from the Lord. This missionary, if he wasn't 80 years old at that time, he was bumping that. Him and his wife, missionaries on the mission field all their lives. She was second generation missionary. She was born in Africa, and in their family, they had 56 family members that were missionaries around the world, dedicated to taking the gospel to the foreign missions. And in that message that day, that Sunday, the Holy Spirit pricked my heart, and so I went back to my truck, got on my knees in the cab of my truck, and I asked God to forgive me, and I surrendered my life to missions, to foreign missions, amen, to go back to where God has called us to go, to Brazil, amen. Hey, whew, mercy, talk about a relief. It really felt that way when you just give your life to God and serve Him. Realize that you can't get those years back, amen, and we need to serve the Lord today, for the time is coming, amen. Christ is returning. He is going to return soon, amen. And we'll share some more of the message with you, some more of that thought on our message tonight, this morning. But anyway, so here we are now. We're with Victory Baptist Church in Loganville, Georgia. And Pastor Derek Lawrence is our pastor. And we're with Macedonia World Baptist Missions. We did deputation back in 2009 to 12. It took a little while. It takes a little bit longer now for a missionary to get support than it did with my dad's days, you know. And but the Lord has taken us back to Brazil. We have been there since 2013 as missionaries. We arrived in the city of Joinville, Santa Catarina. It's a large city of about 570 to 600,000 people, depending on who's counting me, man. And but it's a large city. All the amenities you can think of is there. So whatever you need is there. It has all the appliances, the cars, transportation, gas, the needs, amen. Now, the technology is a little more expensive. Every technology that you can think of, it's the double or more of the price there. So we're taking a few items with us that cost double the price there and so forth. I thought about it, as the brother shared, about that MK purse, amen. Hey, somebody wants to give my wife a little MK purse. Now, we won't turn it down, because I'll tell you what, we can get double or more of the money for it, amen. Amen. Oh boy, it is lonely up here now, brother. Amen. But sure enough, it is expensive there, but all the amenities are there. There's internet and electricity and running water. They don't have hot water in the houses. They only have one knob for water at the faucets, and the shower heads are electric. Electric shower heads. Okay, anyway, we're going to allow some time. I'm going to try to allow some time for questions and answers later at the end of the service. Amen. But the Lord has graciously allowed us to start Igreja Batista Rocha Sólida, which is Solid Rock Baptist Church. We're on the west side of this large city in the suburb of Nova Brasilia, which is New Brasilia. And in that suburb, there's about 22,000 to 25,000 people. The majority of them being youth, but there's four other surrounding suburbs, that are in our reach, and so there's about 75,000 to 80,000 people just on our side of town, and the suburb that we're in, Nova Brasilia, was founded by the Catholic Church back in the mid '70s. A few homes started growing, being built there. Homes don't grow; they were being built there. Amen. And the Catholic Church saw the growth there and took the school and took a school there. And so it was a Catholic school, and then, of course, the Catholic Church went in there. And so all these folks, and not just in that little suburb, but all of, most of Brazil, being predominantly Catholic, they're taught. They grow up learning. The adults that we deal with, they have been taught these things. And their children are being taught these things. And you're talking about a struggle, a barrier. They have really been brainwashed, is a word I'm coming to mind right now, into these beliefs. They're taught all their life that you are to pray to Mary, and she will take your prayers to God. You don't have direct access to God. You have to. It's incredible how it's embedded in them. They will argue with you. No, you have to pray to Mary. They insist on it. You have to pray to Mary, and she will take your prayers to God. But according to Scripture, the Bible says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Amen. And when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father. We have direct access to God. Amen. But they're taught that your sins are taken away when you confess them to a man. Like we heard this morning, they do. They still go into that little booth. They close the door and they talk to a man. They confess their sins to a man. And they believe they've received forgiveness. They're also taught in their church that when you eat that wafer during the Holy Communion, you receive special graces and eternal life by eating that little wafer during Holy Communion. They're taught that doing religious things brings you closer to God. Therefore, becoming a priest or a nun is the way to be closest to Him. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Amen. It doesn't matter if you're a priest or a nun or a preacher or a missionary. Anyone has access to God. Opening up the door and he will come in and sup with them. They're also taught, and you're very familiar with this, is that when you die, you go to a place called purgatory where you pay for your sins prior to going to heaven. That's not in the Bible. And then, another one happened that I had not thought about as in my youth in Brazil, but after working with Mom and Dad, with the Brazilians here in the States, I heard Dad share a testimony how one day in the years ago in Brazil, God allowed him to win a lady to the Lord, a grown adult with parents, with children, I mean, and she accepted Christ as her Savior. And the moment she accepted Jesus into her heart and asked him to be her Savior, she looked at my dad and she said, what about my dad? What about my dad? Well, he had already died and went to a Christless eternity. He had never trusted in Christ as his Savior. My dad, all I could say was, I'm sorry. There's no more chance. What about my dad? You see, when I heard that testimony, something that I had never thought about, the Brazilians are taught, and they believe this. It is interesting how they believe this. You think people just know this and are taught this, but they believe this, that you can go to a man and pay him money to pray your dead loved ones out of purgatory and into heaven. And sometime later when you feel it didn't work, you can go back to him again and pay him again some more money, and he'll pray again for your dead loved one to get out of purgatory. We do not find that in Scripture. It is not in the Bible. Where God has called us to Brazil, that is full of religion. But he didn't command us to go and take a religion. We're not taking a religion, amen. We're going to preach the gospel, amen. If you will, I'll ask you to open up your Bibles into three different texts this morning. There are three passages, and I'm amazed at how God has worked out the lesson this morning in Sunday school and the message this morning. I feel like I've been under doctrine this morning, amen. We appreciate the Sunday school lesson, but God is going to bring these things together this morning, and we thank the Lord for that. Our passages for our message this morning, we take it from Matthew chapter 24. So if you'll find these three places, Matthew chapter 24, and Matthew 28, Matthew 24 and Matthew 28, and hold your fingers in those places, and also find Mark chapter 13. Matthew 24, Matthew 28, and Mark chapter 13. We'll put all these texts together for the message this morning. Matthew 24, Our first one is found in Matthew 24 and verse 14. In Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 28 and verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And now Mark chapter 13 and verse 10. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. I hope that everyone saw the common denominator in these verses. Who does God want to hear of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? All nations. Every nation. He wants all nations to hear of His Son. Let's go to the Lord once again in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You now at this moment and ask You, Heavenly Father, for Your help, for we can do nothing without You. We look to You, for we depend on You, God. And I pray, God, nothing for me but all for Thee, Lord Jesus. I pray that You be exalted and magnified as we make much of Jesus this morning. Help us, Lord God. I pray that You speak to hearts and draw men and women unto Yourself. And Lord, should there be someone that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, Lord, may today be the day of salvation for them, Lord. We ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So this morning we'd like to share a missions emphasis message with you this morning on the next move in missions. I believe there is a next move in missions. Now I'm going to read through some missions verses here that all of us are familiar with, being already a missions-minded church. These are verses that you're already familiar with, so if you want to look through them, we'll mention the text. But these are the verses we're going to go through this morning. And the first one for this message is Mark 16:15, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And here we find the great commission, the great commandment of God to go and preach. Now this is a commandment. It is not a request. And there is a difference in a commandment and a request. Amen. Anyone here has served in the service? Surely there's some men in here that served in the service. If not, you have a boss or anything. Amen. I've been an employer. Amen. But should someone in the service, the soldier, have you ever thought of a commander coming up to him and saying, excuse me, soldier, do you have a time to stand your post? Could you take care of your post? That's not a commandment, amen? A commandment is, soldier, stand your post. And He is commanded to stand in His place, amen? God has given us a commandment to go and preach the gospel, amen? It is still good today. It's not a request, and it has not been removed. It still stands today. On our deputation, I learned something that I didn't know about in my youth, my early days. Our deputation director of the mission board, preaching one time, shared how there are some men that are teaching that this great commission was given to the apostles in their day. Well, that's not scripture either, amen? Studying God's word, you'll learn, with the right attitude, you'll learn that this commandment is for our generation. It still stands today. It is a commandment, it is not a request, and it has not been removed. It still stands today. What is the commandment in that verse? To go into all the world? That is the geography. Amen? The commandment is to go preach the gospel in all the world. Amen? So we have a commandment of God to go and preach the gospel. Jesus ordained His 12 apostles. Now, when Jesus ordained His apostles, and reading through Scripture, you'll find where they were given the power. They were given power to heal, to cast out devils, and even raise from the dead. But what did Jesus send them out to do? When Christ ordained Him, He sent them out. Mark 3:14. Look with me at Mark chapter 3 and verse 14. What did Jesus send them out to do? In Mark chapter 3 and verse 14, we find, and He ordained 12 that they should be with Him and that He might send them forth to preach. That was their priority. And if you look up these scriptures where it has preach and healing, the preaching came first. Amen. It was always the preaching, the gospel. Jesus sent His apostles out to preach. He sent them out and gave them titles to preach. He said, go about and preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand in Mark 10:7. He sent them out to preach that men should repent in Mark 6:12. Amen. And the Bible says they went about and through the towns preaching the gospel. Amen. Jesus, we understand Jesus came to this world. He became flesh so that he could die. Amen. That was his goal. He was headed to the cross. And that is why he came. The Bible also gives us other reasons why Jesus came to this world. He came to seek that lost to save. Amen. And so he didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. Amen. There's another verse that shows why Jesus came into this world. Look with me at Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 38, we're going to see another reason why Jesus came to this world. In Mark chapter 1, and verse 38, and he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. Amen. You see it right there? Jesus came into this world to die. But he said, let's go to the next towns where I can preach there too. That's why I came here. He came to preach the gospel. If you'll remember the story where he was in the house, it was crowded, and the four brought him a man with palsy, and they couldn't get to Jesus for the crowd in the house. If you remember that story, they had to go around to the top of the house, open up the roof, and lower him at Jesus' feet. You know what Jesus was doing in that house that night? The Bible tells us exactly what Jesus was doing in that house, in that crowded house that night. In chapter 2, you're already in Mark. It's chapter 2 and verse 2. And the Bible says, and straightway many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word. Amen. He preached the word unto them. Jesus was in that house and he was preaching that night. Amen. We have the commandment of God to go preach the gospel in all the world. Amen. There's a lot of good things that goes on in the church, amen. And we do the same things in Brazil. We have knocking on doors, amen. We have great visit. We enjoy our door-to-door visitation, amen. Now we do have to be careful in Brazil, in our city, our knocking on doors and passing out tracts and the mailboxes. Every homeowner is required to put their own sidewalk in the front of the house. Every portion of your front house, you are required to put that sidewalk out there. You have to buy the materials, pay the worker if you don't do it yourself, and put your sidewalk. It's by law. Or as long as you don't have the sidewalk there, you're fined. You get a fine. Amen. Now, the problem with that is the sidewalks are like this. You see? Because I want this kind of sidewalk. And the next neighbor says, I don't like that kind of sidewalk. I want this kind of sidewalk. And so it gets crazy. And so what happens is you're putting tracks in the mailbox on the gate right here. And you turn around to go to the next house. And all of a sudden there's a down step here and you don't see it. And so she goes rolling in. So we had to face that. Amen. It was something exciting. Anyway, thank God there wasn't a video. Amen. But we enjoy our visitation, knocking on doors and visiting in Brazil. And so we do a lot of good things, amen. We have Bible studies and discipleship, and where we're training the new converts and Christians to go on and serve the Lord. So we have training and every Sunday. A lot of good things. But the Apostle Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Amen. For it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Have you noticed what's falling in the churches today? There's a lot more show and a lot less preaching the gospel. Amen. We're dealing with all types of religions there. We have the Assembly of God and the Pentecostal. There is a Baptist Pentecostal church in our town. There is a Snowball church. Anybody ever heard? I don't know if anyone's ever heard of Snowball church. There's a Snowball church, and it's really attracting and booming with the youth. Let's say a man has taken a surfboard, made his pulpit out of a surfboard, and he dresses like a surfer at preaching, and opens up the scriptures and starts reading, but the music. Now, there's nothing wrong with music in church, amen, used in a godly way, amen. You can Google it sometimes, Snowball Church, and see what they're talking about. Not right now, though. Okay. Anyway, but it's you see it on YouTube, and it's huge in our town where we're living there, and it's they're attracting the youth, but it's all to the flesh. And so there's a lot of show and a lot less preaching going on. God has commanded us not to take the religion, not to take a show, but he has commanded us to go and preach the gospel. So the next move in missions. Moving on. The next one, Also a familiar verse, if you want to look it up, in Matthew chapter 9. You'll see Matthew chapter 9. The next move in missions. In Matthew chapter 9, we see in verse, let's read verse 37 and 38. In Matthew 9, verse 37 and 38, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We have here the cry of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Now God is not limited. There's nothing too hard for God. Amen. But man is. And Jesus knew that. Just prior to his ascension back into heaven, he left the apostles and us a prayer request. Now when we receive prayer requests, they expect us to pray for them. Amen. And vice versa. When we give a prayer request, we expect others to pray for us. Jesus gave us this prayer request. Will you please pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers? Because man is limited. You know, can one? It's a rhetorical question, but can one man reach Madisonville? Can one man reach Joinville? And so on and so on. Man is limited. Amen. We need help. And Jesus knew this. And it's interesting. America was known for the greatest nation of sending missionaries in times past. Amen. And a lot of universities boomed. And a lot of Bible colleges were geared toward that. Amen. Most of us in here won't remember those days. Amen. But it was here in the States. It was like that. On our deputation, I did a Google search on missionary statistics. And in that search, I found someone had done a research in today's generation. They found that in our generation, there were 72 nations yet without any fundamental independent Baptist missions. Now, there's all kinds of missionaries. Amen. There's all kinds of sorts of missionaries. But when we say fundamental independent Baptist missions, we're talking about someone who has stayed with the truth. Amen. And he has taken the gospel. Amen. It's a good thing for doctors, missionaries. Amen. Praise the Lord for doctors, missionaries, nurses, missionaries. Amen. We need them. Amen. And we know some in our mission board. And so praise the Lord for that. We're talking for God has commanded us to go and preach the gospel. We must not leave out the preaching of the gospel. Amen. And I don't know how accurate that person was on their research, but let's say there is. What if there is 72 nations in our generation who are not hearing the truth of the gospel? They're receiving another gospel, amen, which is not a gospel, but they're hearing something, amen. But the truth, is, what if it's that? No, why is that? Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers. Amen? Are we praying? Is this our prayer? Amen? How many times I have failed to mention that prayer in my prayer life? Amen? We must not leave out the praying that God will send forth laborers. We need help. Any missionary you call up that you support, hey, brother, been praying for you, thinking about y'all, is there anything we could do? Any missionary with honesty would say, we need help. Please pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers. Amen. And Christ has left us that prayer request. Another thing that that person had surveyed, they had discovered that in our generation, in today's Bible colleges all around the United States, there was less than 1% of anyone preparing for foreign missions. In the greatest nation that used to be ascending missionaries. Amen. Our nation has dropped that area. So Christ is still asking us. It is still a prayer request for us that we pray that God will send forth laborers. We still need missionaries, amen. Contrary to popular belief, Brazil is still one of those nations where the laborers are so few. We need more missionaries, amen. And the pastor would say the same for Madisonville, right here, amen. We need more workers to go out and bring the folks into church. Amen, right here. It's the same everywhere around the world. Amen. We need more helpers and servants for the Lord. Amen. And so the next move in missions. Moving on here. The next thing we find, and we mentioned right there, why does Jesus want us to pray for more laborers? Because we heard this morning at Sunday school lesson the same thing. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. God does not want anyone. Hell was not for man. Amen. He didn't create hell for man. And he doesn't want anyone to go there. It's all by choice. Amen. You realize that? Everyone in hell today went there by choice. It's been a choice. There's either choice to believe in the truth or a lie. I am the way. Amen. The truth and the life. Amen. It all matters what you believe in between. Amen. From the beginning of your life until the end of your life. What did you believe in between? Either the truth or the life. So, Christ, God does not want anyone to perish. Not even the Brazilian, Japanese, the German, the American. No one. He wants them all to come to repentance. Our next move in missions, we find the next one is Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, you'll recognize this as well. In Romans chapter 10, here we're going to look at verse 14. Very familiar verse. Romans 10, 14, the Bible says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" We have here the call of the Holy Spirit. Amen? It is the call of the Holy Spirit. What is he calling us to do? What is the call of the Holy Spirit here? I believe the first step, the first calling of the Holy Spirit in a person's life, especially a lost man's life, is the matter of salvation. That is where it begins. Amen? It is not trying to deal with a person about pouring the Holy Spirit on them and give them the power to heal or to speak in tongues. He is dealing with a lost soul about the matter of, do you know where you'll go into eternity when you take your last breath? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. And that is for every nation. And who does God want to hear this truth? All nations. Amen. And the Holy Spirit begins to deal with a man's life about the matter of salvation. That's where it begins. What about the saved person? The Holy Spirit doesn't stop there either. Amen. The Holy Spirit still deals with the person. He is calling us. What is he calling us to do? Turn the page if it's on your next page. Chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." It is a call to present to service. It is a call to salvation. It is a call to service. You see, God never saved anyone to sit. Amen. That's coming one day, amen. We're headed on up to our rest, amen. We're going to that land of rest one day, amen. We'll probably find out we're going to work hard up there. Amen. Keep on working. But he never saved anyone to sit. But he saved us to serve. Everyone has something to do, from the eldest to the youngest. And think about the youngest. An example in the Bible, there was a great man. He had gone into Syria and captured the Syrians and took a little young maiden with him. And he took this young maiden back to his house and he became his wife's servant. And that man had leprosy. He came upon leprosy. And he did all he could to get rid of that leprosy. And that young lady, that little maiden, and if you study the Jewish history, she could have been anywhere from 10 to 12 years old. "I know a man," she said, amen. "Amen, could get rid of you of your leprosy." Amen. And so, hey, you know the story how he went to this the prophet and dipped seven times in Jordan. It was a young lady who stood up and served God. Amen. And so, we have the commandment of God to go and preach. God has made his move. We had the cry of Jesus that we pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers. Christ has made his move. We have the call of the Holy Spirit to present our bodies a living sacrifice. I'm thinking of the living sacrifice, amen. What does that mean? Well, my part-time hobby is my ancestry, and I have known to visit cemeteries in my little research. And as my truck drive, in my truck driving days, I was delivering a excavator to a job site, and we always had to get there early. And so I got there about an hour early and had some time where I sat and read my New Testament. And while I was reading my New Testament and finished what I was doing there, I was still waiting, and I looked across the field, the overgrown grass. I saw the tips of tombstones. Amen. And so I got out of the truck and took some time and went over to that cemetery. It was all grown up around it. There was building construction around it. The family has, it's been gone for years. And you know what I'm talking about, those abandoned cemeteries. I found it, went back there, and I found a tombstone where a lady named Elizabeth had been born in 1796, and she was buried there. My imagination went wild, amen. Just years after the Declaration of Independence, amen. Who knows how she might have seen some of those people that are fleeing from the... Anyway, that's another story. All right, so imagine with me. So I went to this cemetery and abandoned. She was born in 1796 and died in the 1800s. And I've got my New Testament with me. And I go to her cemetery, her plot. Hi, Elizabeth. Excuse me. I'd like to share something with you here. The Bible... Elizabeth, excuse me. The Bible... Get the picture there? There comes a time. There's no more opportunity. We must go and preach the gospel while it's day. Today, amen, the night cometh when no man can work, amen. That day is coming. And God has given us the commandment to go. Christ is praying. He's asking us. He's requesting us to pray still today. Please pray. The Holy Spirit, I believe, is still working in men's hearts. Why is there still 72 nations, should that be the number, that are not hearing the truth, the absolute truth of God's Word? Are we praying enough? Are we doing our part? Are we going enough? The Holy Spirit is still calling. The next move in missions, we'll finish up with this verse, Romans chapter 9. The next move in missions, I believe, is right here in this text, in Romans chapter 9. You'll recognize this passage where Saul was on the road to Damascus. And he was on that road to Damascus to destroy all those who called on this name Jesus. But on that, Romans. It is Acts. Amen for my wife. She's already preached this message. No, I'm just kidding. No, we heard that ain't happening this morning. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 9. Is where Saul was on the road to Damascus. And on that road, he met Jesus. I enjoyed sharing my testimony already with you, how I met Jesus in Cabbage Town, Atlanta. Amen. And I hope that my prayer is that you also have met Jesus. But here was an ungodly man who hated the Christians, and he was going to go destroy them. And on that road, he met Jesus. The next move in missions, in verse 6, just the first part, Acts chapter 9, verse 6, and he, Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The next move in missions is a commitment of God's people to do that which he asks us to do. God has commanded us to go and preach. Now, we understand that God's not going to call women to be pastors of a church. But ladies, he doesn't leave you out of this. Every time you hand out a tract, every time you tell someone about Jesus, invite them to church to hear the gospel, you are proclaiming God's word in the gospel. Amen. And he has commanded us to go and proclaim his word. Christ has cried out that we pray. The Holy Spirit is calling that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. The next move in missions, a commitment, God's people, to go and preach, to save them that believe, to go pray that he will send forth laborers, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. May we do that which he has asked us to do. It may not be foreign missions. God's not going to call everyone to go to a foreign mission field. Someone's got to stay by the stuff. Amen. That's an Old Testament Bible verse. Someone's holding the ropes. And we appreciate folks that are standing by and holding the ropes. Amen. So many times we'd be in our kitchen all alone there and just know somebody is over here praying for us. Amen. we'll finish up right there. Another thought is maybe someone is waiting to hear God's calling, maybe waiting for instructions. But if you'll notice in the finishing the verse in Acts 9:6, what thou have me to do? Jesus didn't tell them to stay in your comfort zone. He said, get up. He said, arise and go. And you realize there he is asking us to take that first step of faith. Amen. And then it will be told thee what thou art doing. Amen. So we must take that first step of faith. And that took place for us in 2009. February of 2009. I shall never forget it. Step of faith. Most people don't like the negative aspect, but it's part of the life. As Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. It's difficult. It's scary. It's nerve-wracking. Walk away from that guaranteed weekly paycheck. Amen. We both were working jobs. I was trying to do deputation, get meetings, and work a job. And we had reached 10% of what we needed to live in Brazil. Brazil, by the way, is one of those countries where the missionary has to sign documents that you will not take a job in Brazil. You can't go to Brazil and take one of their jobs. It's against the law. So we had to sign that we won't take a job for there. We had to be 100% support from the country. The missionary has to be supported from the country he's coming from. So we only had 10%, and we were battling. The deputation, it was not going to work. I could not get meetings and work a job the way God was working it out in our time. It was different in my dad's day. But for us in our time, it's a little bit different. And I couldn't. So we just prayed and sought the Lord and counseled. And just February 9th comes to mind, somewhere in there. Got on our knees, and once again, God, please tell us what to do. And God put it on my heart that we were just going to have to step out by faith. Take that step of faith. Just get up. Get up, Scott, and go. I turned away. I told my boss, and he let me come out of the truck and work the equipment and stay local and eventually come out of that. We were full-time missionaries. But then he had to deal with her. No. If I can just work one more hour, we could get this here more money. And if I could work this much this more week, and I could get this much more and could pay the bills while you... No. That didn't work either. But that's what she thought she could do. 2 weeks later, after our commitment, her job closed their doors. Amen. God will do make a way. Amen. He will do what needs to be done. Amen. And so the Lord got us. We surrendered to go full-time in missions and just trust God fully by faith. Amen. And that's what God has asked us to do. The just shall live by faith. So we went to Brazil. Amen. And here we are now on our first furlough. And we are empty nesters now. Our daughter, our youngest daughter, went with us, and she was there for 3 years. And she is now at West Coast Baptist Bible College preparing for missions as well. Appreciate your prayers for her, and we'll be going back. We're looking forward to go back now, just the two of us, and serve him as empty nesters, if you want to term it that way. When we left Brazil on our first term, 2014, I believe, no, 2015-ish in there somewhere, I calculated we had lost 12 supporters from here in the States. Some churches, I can't count on one hand how many churches had closed their doors that were supporting us. And then some individuals. And all the total of 12 supporters. We lost a lot of our support. And so coming to the States on furlough is kind of a nervous thing too. Amen. We needed to. It's a part of our ministry. Amen. It's involved in our ministry. And so we needed to come home here in the States for furlough. But we began praying, God, you know, please help us with this. Please restore some of that support. And I stand here today, God has answered prayers. Amen. He has already restored at least 8 of those 12 that dropped us and lost. Amen. And so God has confirmed time and time again he wants us to go back. Amen. Another issue that we faced when we got here in the States was the airplane ticket. When you purchase an airplane ticket, if you go over a certain time, you can't get a round trip ticket. Amen. Lord, you know these things. You know, can't you talk with this airline company? No. So if you pass those dates, you can't get a round-trip ticket. So we had to buy a one-way ticket back to the States. When it came time for us to research and to get tickets back to Brazil, another one-way ticket back to Brazil, my mouth literally dropped. Each ticket had gone up over $600 per person. Lord, you know these things. And so a lot of knee time, amen. Went back to the Lord on our knees. But we took it to God, and we can't, but God, you can. And just in November, God provided the tickets, amen. He took care of that. He has taken care of it. So we have our tickets in hand already, and our departure date is April 25th. We'll be heading back to the work that we have started to continue there. God has given us a handful of people to work with, and a young couple who is working with us, and they came baptized, saved and baptized, just now starting. He was just saved a couple of years before we met him. And so, new converts. And he's just now in the part where he's talking to me about, you know, teaching. And so we're working on these things little bit by little bit. So thank you for your prayers for our work there. I figured we'd leave a little time here for questions and answers. If you may have any questions or answers right now, we'd love to take that and talk to you about our country, Brazil, amen. The price of gasoline, the cost of milk and ice cream or whatever and so forth. Any questions at this moment? Brother that taught the lesson this morning has some good questions today. A while ago. Anybody have anything on your mind you'd like to ask us about Brazil, where we are? Anything. Amen. If not, preacher, we're done. We thank y'all so much for allowing us to be part of your missions month this month. Amen. God bless you, preacher.